me my pop quiz this week.
Yes.
I just wanted to say season's greetings to audience. Not to you, to our audience. Why do you always think it's always about you?
Well, because I'm the only one that you're talking to at the moment.
I am talking to our global audience. We got people in Peru, for crying out loud, that need a Merry something down there.
How do you know that?
Well, if you look at our numbers, we actually have like 3 Peruvians.
Well, I understand that, but why do you assume that the Peruvians celebrate the same things that we do?
I think they celebrate Christmas in Peru, don't they?
That's very geocentric of you.
Sorry about that. All right. All right, I'm ready for my pop quiz.
Okay. So here's my question for you.
Yeah, I knew that was coming.
Are you a stuffy adult?
Am I a stuffy adult?
Yes.
You know, my wife would say yes, but I think a lot of other people would say no.
Okay.
Yeah.
That's kind of an answer.
Well, stuffy. Like, when you say stuffy...
Stuffy.
Am I having tea time every day at whatever they... You know, if I knew I guess I would say I'm stuffy.
Admittedly, stuffy is a broad word, so...
Are you saying, do I have a certain protocol upon greeting and saying hello and...
No, not necessarily. I think I'm more of a lifestyle thing. So are you rules-oriented? Are you very particular about things? Do you find yourself being more grumpy, adult-oriented as you age?
I'm certainly more grumpy. Again, my wife would tell you that I'm pretty grumpy.
Okay.
Like, I want certain things a certain way. However... There's a dichotomy to it in that, how about this? I don't like people bugging me, but if people aren't bugging me, I don't care. Does that make sense? Right? Like, when they're kind of violating my space or poking me or whatever, I get grumpy.
Well, that's everybody, isn't it? Isn't that everybody to a certain extent?
No, there are some people that just kind of endure. There are cultures that just endure, right? Hey, it's just what that guy's doing. It is what it is, right? And I'll get my chance of doing whatever I want to do. And if it bugs you, who cares? But for me, if I'm bothered, I don't want to be bothered.
Okay. Do you have a sense?
But I don't go out of my way to find order.
Okay. This is kind of hard to measure, and this is a fairly cerebral question, but... Can you sense yourself becoming more structure-oriented, more set in your ways as you get older?
Oh, of course.
Can you feel that?
Of course, yes. And with children, you bet. Actually, I was evaluating – it's funny you brought that up today because I'm like, I've had children now for about 8 years. 8 years of my life have been child-involved, and I can guarantee you where it comes up is that statement, oh, my gosh, I just did what my mom did, and I just did what my parents did, and I never thought I would do that. Right?
Right.
But they were seeking order. They were seeking, a direction for me and my life, which meant they had to reorient who they were. It's kind of like when Marty McFly goes back to the 1955 and realizes his parents were completely different people.
Yes.
His dad's a total, goofball. Not a goofball. He's a nerd. Right?
Yes.
And he's out of touch with people, and he's not very social. His mom is the most popular girl in class. Total role reversal, 30 years later as they have kids.
Correct. So there you go.
Of course, in the interesting ending of the film, or the happy ending, they end up being cool parents that let Marty do whatever he wants. It's a weird thing, right? We could get into Back to the Future at some point, but yeah, that ending is it's kind of a doozy now as I think of parenting.
And do you think you are a cool parent?
I want to think I'm cool.
That's a separate question.
Yeah, but I look at some of the other dads here. I just go, yeah, there's some really cool dads, right?
Okay.
There's just some dads that are cool. And Todd, you know me. I've never had a cool day in my life.
Oh, that's not true. You're selling yourself short.
I am I am who I am for sure, right? I'm the best Dave Kidney there ever be.
That is true, and the only one, thankfully.
But, yeah, that's true, and there's a definitive thing in that. Like, I'm not certainly never going to be Bob Smith or Leroy Jenkins, but I will be Dave Kidney, and that is a definer, right?
Okay.
But I can't necessarily say I'm cool. Right, I was the kid that liked to wear the Star Trek emblem to school every day.
You
and
did.
If I could, I would have worn Vulcan ears if I could have. Right? And
I
in the 80s,
wearing...
that would have been very uncool.
I don't remember you wearing an emblem every day.
Oh, yeah, I wore a Star Trek insignia. I wore an Star Trek insignia pin on my jacket for years. For about 1 year.
Yeah, lots of people wore stuff on their jackets, so that's okay.
Yeah, you can kind of get away with that, but yeah. Pins in the 80s. Forgot about
that. That's right. Pins in the 80s. Before we transition into our topic, I just want to let you know. And
wait,
I
haven't answered. Like, I need to know what your definition. What's your definition of stuffy?
Well, I gave you more stuff. Are you kind of rules oriented and structure oriented? Are you able to kind of let, you know, your kids and your life and your routine just kind of go sometimes, or do you sort of need things to remain orderly, as it were? Are you able to flex?
Yes. But I also, what I do that's totally different than my parents is I let the consequences fly. So if Kayleen just chooses not to wear a jacket at school and it's going to snow tonight, it ain't my problem. It's her problem.
Okay.
Right? Then you could say that's kind of a cool parent, but at the same time, like, no, I think there's some consequences there because she'll realize she gets to school, she'll be freezing to death, she'll never want to not take another jacket again. And my mom would never have let me do that. Not in a million years.
Okay.
You know, I would have been in big trouble and all this stuff, and I would have to have worn a coat.
Sure. I was going to tell you, you know, again, back to our original thing, we've had 26 downloads in Peru since January 1st. So that's an important stat to remember.
That probably means we have like a half a Peruvian.
I'm just not even going to try to
categorize
that.
Yeah, that's right.
Okay, so
numbers are weird. Anyway.
That's right. Given that it is the holiday season, whatever holiday you celebrate, however you celebrate it, all that kind of good stuff.
Happy Kwanzaa.
Yes, and Hanukkah, and Festivus for the rest of us, that sort of thing, for all you Seinfeld people out there. We decided to watch a show, a movie, I should say.
Yes.
With a holiday theme.
Yes.
And that movie is The Legend of Frosty the Snowman.
Yes.
Which is a 2005, I guess you'd call, remake, reimagining of
no,
the...
No, it's a direct sequel. It's a direct sequel. It's a direct sequel. Yep. Yeah, because there's lore in it. There's tons of lore in the movie that point to the fact... Because the father, or the mayor of Evergreen, is actually a boy from the original cartoon.
No, I get that. Well, it's...
And it goes to great lengths explaining that the reason that Frosty hasn't come back until now is that his hat has been trapped in a box for the past 35 years.
Okay, so it's sort of a side story to the original.
No, it's a sequel.
Okay, well.
Call it what it is. It really is a sequel. I can't even say it's a reimagining either. It's truly a sequel. Because at the end of the story of the first one, it suggests that Frosty will be back someday. Right? In the song, it's all about Frosty coming back at some point. He'll be back again someday, right?
Very good.
And this... Come on! Where's your Frosty lore?
Okay, so I'll buy that it's a sequel.
Yes!
It just didn't feel like a sequel because it was a little bit of a departure in style from the 1969 classic, but I suppose that's to be expected.
Sure.
Okay. So... I don't know. We don't need to go deeply through the plot because we can allow people to enjoy this cinematic gem on Netflix. It's too bad we can't get Netflix to sponsor our podcast.
Oh, man.
Considering
that,
considering
let's keep talking about that. Maybe someday,
that's right. Someday
they'll hear us on the YouTubes or something. Why do they keep on mentioning our name? Oh.
That's right. Oh.
Right.
Mm-hmm. Okay, so tell me your thoughts on the legend of Frosty the Snowman.
Yeah, right. So we picked this because it's the holiday season, and this appears to be new, right? Like, hey, it just popped up on Netflix, and here it is, this great Frosty movie that has finally come back, you know, the legend of Frost. Maybe you're getting tripped up on the fact that it's legend and not return.
I suppose.
I wanted to say return of Frosty Snowman. Doesn't matter. You're saying, what were you saying about the plot? That you're having a hard time following
I didn't really, summarize the plot. I just said I don't know if we need to summarize the plot.
I think we do, because I think everything is about, you know, I think the whole thing is the plot, right?
Okay, so I'll give you what I sort of found to be the summary of the plot, is that we have this town, Evergreen.
Evergreen.
Which is run very strictly by adults who maintain a certain order. It's got very much of a sort of Pleasantville vibe to it.
Yeah.
Where everything is perfect and the kids are all obedient and they all sit in school and are attentive. And the town is run very strictly by the mayor, who goes around every day with his little checklist, his little clipboard, making sure everything in the town is still orderly.
And perfect.
And perfect.
I can't say perfect. I can't say perfect, but orderly, well, yeah. Orderly
but
is right.
I would say almost perfect. That's kind of the vibe, just because they give you little hints at that, right down to, in an early scene, the mayor essentially licks the sidewalk.
Right. That's right. Yeah, that's right. Forgot about that.
Yeah. Says, ah, yeah, that is clean.
That is clean. Right. Yeah.
So we meet his kids, and his kids are, you know, again, fairly straight-laced, and they follow the rules, but you have this sense that some of the kids are not loving this highly structured environment. We get to introduce to a couple other kids. But thankfully, this magic hat appears and manifests itself as Frosty. And Frosty makes himself known to some of these kids and leads them on these little adventures and starts to change the overall vibe of the town. So,
yep.
And, of course, the adults are perplexed by this and befuddled by this and bothered by this because their structure seems to be falling apart, and they sort of categorize it as this giant imagined phenomenon, which is manifesting itself as rebellion, an uprising, as it were.
Sure.
Okay. A mutiny, I think, is the word that they use. Okay. In the cartoon.
Yeah. So yeah, the mayor talks to the principal, and I think the principal or the mayor, one of them uses the principal says there could be mutiny.
Right. So, you know, should we just keep going with the plot?
No, I mean, the minute you see what's occurring, it's a setup. But
yep.
I always have to remember, I always have to reel myself in and say, it's a kid's show. Although adult shows do this too. Not everything is super clever. You could actually look at some of the Avenger movies, right? Hey,
right.
There's trouble in the area of whatever, and it's all unraveling, and it's up to our heroes to basically fix it, right? So in this case, everything is super straight-laced. Uncle Buck is going to come in and make everything unstraight-laced, right?
Hoopty.
Loosen up. Yeah, in the hoopty, right? In fact, you could actually say Pleasantville meets Uncle Buck is what this movie is.
Yes.
Right? It takes the best of all of it and makes it completely boring. I'm sorry. I had to get there at some point. The original Frosty, I think the original Frosty doesn't run an hour, does it? Is it a whole hour? I think it's about 40 minutes. Because it was made for TV specifically.
Yeah.
And this thing plods along for an hour and 10 minutes.
Yes.
And it has got at least three or four sequences in it that are so unnecessary that I'm like, why? I don't know what kid's going to want to sit through this, right? They overemphasize, like, sometimes I just wonder if they animate something and like, well, we put so much effort into animating this, because the animation's not bad. And they put so much effort into animating it that they just can't walk out of it, right? So it's got to remain in the movie. But you get into the plot of every single side character and what's going on in their lives and how strung up they are. And each one of those side plots is contrived and boring.
Yes, it is.
And I'm like, oh, why are we spending so much time with this? And of course, it's this, there's a cycle. Hey, your life is kind of boring because of X, Y, and Z, and parents putting rules on your lives are making you just not as much fun as you could be. Why are you doing piano lessons? There's some weird stuff in there too, right? These kids are taking out the garbage. Like, we're talking weird, off the chart plot, like side characters. They get a whole sequence of themselves as the garbage boys. They're taking out garbage, and I thought for a second Frosty was going to dump garbage throughout the neighborhood. He's like, you want to know something about garbage? And he opens up the garbage cans like, no. Frosty's actually going to dump out the garbage and make like a magical garbage snowman.
Well, but part of me wants to say, why don't we get that impression? Because they take the garbage cans up to the mountains.
Yep.
And he
opens... of Evergreen, which are beautiful.
Yeah, and he opens up the trash can, which does appear to still be full of garbage.
Yes.
Because
they hadn't taken the garbage all the way out. He stopped them on the way out to doing it.
Right. This is his running gag. This is his cheesy humor of, you've never taken out the garbage, and he treats it as you've never taken your friends out to see things. So they take the garbage up to see the sights.
Right.
And then he proceeds to sort of toss the garbage can aside and then ride the lids down the mountain. Which, okay, fine. Are we led to believe that they just kind of left the garbage up in the hills?
Right. Well, because Frosty is he's a muse. And a lot of his agenda is not it's the opposite of structure. He's chaos.
Right.
Sorry.
So this is my question. I mean, again, you mentioned it. We have to step back. And we've talked about this with a whole bunch of shows. We have to sort of say, look, it's a kid show. It's silly. There's goofy humor. It's animated. Not real deep in the, you know, intellectual department. The question is...
Well, no, but that's not true. This movie had a huge message.
Well, that's my question.
Yeah,
what
okay.
is... I'm saying that as a general rule
in
terms
of
kids'
yeah.
programming. Sometimes we have to sort of say, you know, are we thinking too much into this? Is this just... This is just puppets, and they've got sticks, and they're banging each other with the sticks. I mean,
yep, so, it's not that, which we get a lot of.
So my question is to you, what is the message to the kids?
Yeah, that was the issue that I had with it, is that, so you're right, you're totally right. They had a choice. Do we do Punch and Judy, or do we do Gone with the Wind? Just kidding. But, you know, do we give this thing a substance and some sort of one to grow on type
right.
element to the show? My problem with their one to grow on is it is boring, and so in that case it fails to entertain, and it's smashing you on the head with it, right?
Okay, it's boring to you. It might be entertaining to kids, which is fine.
Right, but the thing is that this is where I was having a hard time too. Is like, today we celebrate children. In this day and age, it's a kids kind of rule a lot of different things, right? I mean, there's still
right.
structure, but I'm
right.
like, to actually say, let's, you know, throw it out the window because Frosty is here, because that's the message, is that no one should ever be as tight as the people of Evergreen. But the thing is, that doesn't even exist in our world. It existed maybe 40 years ago. And there were just some things in there that, just bugged me, really bothered me, right? As far as message and not holding any punches, right? Like, and then just kind of dwelling on each child and their dilemma against, you know, railing against the system.
Well, and I guess my take from it, you can watch this as a parent and you can ask yourself that question. You can say, okay, am I wound too tight as a parent? What is the balance between my expectations for my children versus kind of being anxious about it all the time? You know what I mean? I mean, yeah. And that's not necessarily one or the other. It's the whole concept of, am I able to instill in my kids a sense of responsibility, but still provide some level of joy that they would want to follow my parental guidelines rather than do it just because they're doing it in a military sort of way?
What's your point?
I guess my point is you can certainly ask this question of yourself whether you are too uptight, but I think my problem with this particular version of this is that, first of all, it sort of went down the Disney road of all the parents are incompetent and clueless and disengaged from the true meaning of society. They've all sort of lost themselves.
Yep.
Somehow. We're not really told how. Now, again, we're sort of alluded to that later on where you sort of say, okay, somewhere along the way, you know, you go from being a kid to being an adult and you don't believe in magic anymore and now you give in to the clipboard and that sort of thing.
Right.
I guess my other issue with this is that we're sort of the muse of Frosty almost suggests to us that the only way for children to kind of infuse their more enlightened view of life is through direct rebellion.
Right.
Is to just sort of say, you need to just drop everything that you're doing. You need to sneak out of the house at night. You need to just do whatever.
Right.
And
that's what happens in the film. Right. And it doesn't, the problem with the movie is that it doesn't resolve any of it. There's kind of a yin yang moment at the end where things are kind of balanced, but it doesn't tell you how it got there.
Right.
It doesn't.
And it does.
I guess it doesn't have to, but it doesn't. There's so many other ways they could have done this film. It lacks magic, and it's all about magic. The magic of this, well, because it's such a heavy-handed message, that it lacks any kind of magical element. When I think of the children's movies that we watched as a kid, they were simple, but yet at the same time, I always felt like these are enchanting.
Yeah.
They capture my imagination. None of this captured my imagination.
Well, I will say this, and in defense of the film, as parents, we create a certain structure for our kids. Yes?
Yep.
We say, okay, here's bedtimes. Like for my kids, and we've told our kids this before, we have some fairly simple expectations, right? We expect that they're going to turn in their homework, do their best, have a good attitude. When we ask them to do chores, you know, that they would get them done.
Yep.
These are not crazy expectations to us. Every once in a while, we might loosen up. We might sort of say, you know what, it's kind of a busy day, or we've kind of got this event going on. Let's just kind of skip the chores today. That's not an everyday occurrence, but every once in a while we do that. And in the film, we sort of see this, that all these uptight adults, they get out in the snow, and all of a sudden they kind of have this, they start up a snowball fight, and they have fun, and all that kind of good stuff. But to your point, it doesn't give us any sort of guidelines on when that is. And that's why I say in defense of the film, that's a hard thing even for us as adults to say too. How often do you say to your kids, you know what, let's just not worry about the chores right now, let's go let's go out. Or, you know what, let's just, you know, don't worry about your homework tonight. Just, you're tired. Just go ahead and go to bed. Those are moments that we struggle with as parents. But I guess the film sort of treats it as more of a lifestyle, if that makes sense.
Yeah.
Like, you sort of always have to – they don't really bring you back to kind of a middle ground of saying, hey, let's work with the parents. Let's work with the parents where they are and say, let's infuse a little Christmas joy here, but we're also going to still fit into the structure and reality that certain stuff has to get done.
Right.
And that's what's hard about this particular
thing. It's interesting, and I was trying to think of other Christmas plots, the classic Christmas plot, which is we've lost the spirit of Christmas, which is something we get all the time. Like, Miracle on 34th Street, standard. There is no Santa. I cannot believe. And so even all the way up to you get the Will Ferrell movie.
Elf.
Same plot. The spirit of Christmas has been missing, right? So I'll say this for them. They didn't go down that track.
But again, to your point,
I actually found myself wondering how this is related to Christmas. It's not. It's a Frosty movie, but it's not really a Christmas movie.
Correct. This could have been any character in an uptight town.
Right. So maybe that's one of the ways they could avoid the classic Christmas plot. I'm just thinking that there's so many things they could have done tonally, because I'm like, it's not a complete disaster. Like, there's a lot of effort and thought placed into the movie. I'll give it that. It just could have used an editor, and or people in Evergreen could have been more in reality. The plot could have been a little bit more interesting in that I'm too busy for you, or we're all very driven to get X, Y, and Z done, and we don't see the joy in life anymore.
Right.
And Frosty could have been about joy, which he always has been, and happiness versus just outright rebellion. Do you see what I'm saying?
Yeah, I do. And that I think is what's the kind of interesting thing, is they do sort of paint him as kind of this Pied Piper character that basically just encourages the kids to go out into the woods and screw around. Without really giving them, hey, this is why we do this.
Right.
He really is kind of treated as a character that is just leading them down a path.
Yeah, and
no,
I would say
particular. Yeah, because he doesn't do a lot of, you know, heartwarming speeches about, hey, this is why we're doing this. Hey, let's kind of transform the town. Hey, let's work with your parents and try to get them a little bit more joy. It's just kind of like, hey, kids, let's go out in the woods and just slide down hills.
And
because we can.
Snowballs at each other. Yeah, and that's all he pretty much says. I mean, I'll say this. In the original movie, the one part that everybody remembers as a kid is Frosty gets stuck in a greenhouse, right? And
right.
I remember crying as a child because I'm like, oh, no, Frosty's stuck in a greenhouse. He's going to melt. He'll die. And it's going to be terrible, right?
Right.
If this Frosty gotten stuck in a greenhouse, I could have cared less.
Yeah. Well, we even see it with the kids. I mean, the kids throughout the film are, they break up into little cliques, and they, you know, are kind of being exclusive, and they want to keep Frosty to themselves, and they don't want to necessarily share that joy with each other.
Right. Yeah, that's right. They're like, hey, can't really tell you about it because you're a part of Pleasantville.
That's right.
You're upholding the idea of Pleasantville. Can't tell you about Uncle Buck.
That's right.
It is kind of funny how much of those movies are just kind of ripped off and then just put in there. And then, oh, by the way, guess what? Burt Reynolds is narrating.
Yes.
And we have a surprise ending for you. Woohoo!
Yes.
There's
yes.
a twist. I won't spoil it, but there is a twist.
Yes, we're a long way from Cannonball Run and Smokey and the Bandit.
So personally, for kids, I think they'd just be bored. I think the movie lacks any kind of enchantment or magic, even though they keep on talking about magic and how wonderful it is. I think you're going to lose the attention of children. Because part of the issue, or part of the thing for me, or the draw to the original Frosty was Frosty himself. Oh my gosh, he came out of nowhere, and he's lovable, and I want to get to know him, and the children really kind of, like, keep him as a secret, right? They're his thing, right?
Right.
You know, I'm not saying he's any kind of father figure to them, but he is lovable, and actually, the choice of voice actor for Frosty, I'm not sure, and I'm not going to criticize the guys for voice acting. I just think it's fine. What I think is a problem is that I think there's not a good connection between the lovable Frosty and the voice actor that they chose.
Well, it's the guy that does SpongeBob SquarePants.
Yeah, and I'm like, this doesn't really work. And it doesn't sound like SpongeBob, but it doesn't work for some reason. And voice acting for that particular character is crucial.
Well, and I will, and again, I'll give it its due in that, you know, I did watch this, and as an adult, you ask yourself, okay, am I a little too uptight? Do I have a clipboard? Am I running around trying to make my kids' life, you know, too structured? Do I allow my kids enough, you know, leeway to kind of be spontaneous and have some fun? And again, as I mentioned, that's a balance that you have to walk your entire parenting life. But, again, as I mentioned, much in a Disney way, we're just sort of put in a very simple box of all adults are clueless and way uptight and they just need to be ignored. And that's, and that's the message.
Yep. I do want to say before we kind of wrap this up, because I can sense we're getting there, I want to say this, is that there's a scene in the movie in which Walter, which is the best friend of the character, I can't remember the name of the main character, Tim, I think.
Yeah.
Anyway, Walter is a black kid, and he is singled out. Frosty basically has fun with him, and then he's kind of singled out at school, and there was a scene that I just found, like, I don't think this scene would ever fly. You know, even in 2005, I don't think this scene would fly, but you had a bunch of white men cornering this black kid and putting a dunce cap on him. I was like, this is just, ugh, I don't like this.
Yeah, I mean, I don't know. I guess I didn't draw necessarily that conclusion. I mean, is that...
It made me feel awkward. I was like,
I suppose.
I don't really care for this. Just I'm not saying that it was intentional. It's just, it happens a lot, right? It's been going on for a long, long time. And to put the black character in that position right off the bat, to be isolated and to also be told he's stupid, was just kind of, I don't like this. Especially by two older white men.
Yeah, I suppose.
I'm not saying it was a lynching or anything like that. Okay, and I don't think the creators really intended for that to occur, but I don't think that if a cartoon was made in this day and age, that would have happened.
That's entirely possible. So.
Yeah, it's a weird visual, and I'm just giving you, as parents, just a heads up that there's kind of this weird scene that occurs, and if it comes up, you know, I don't think it was intentional, but yeah.
You never know.
You never know.
All right, so you can hear the rest of our podcasts on Podomatic, iTunes, YouTube, Google Play, Stitcher. I miss anything?
You could
email, like, us on Facebook. Yeah, you can email the show. Email the show.
Did you say Patreon?
ParentingMistakes@hotmail.com. You can support us financially on Patreon. And if you want, we're on AdvertiseCast now, so you can buy advertisements. We'll do all sorts of fun stuff.
I'm sure we will.
You can like us on Facebook, Parenting Mistakes, and you can follow us on Twitter, Parent Mistakes. And you can buy my book.
Oh, yeah.
Business Ethics, The Search for an Elusive Idea, which is on Amazon, and it is on sale until Christmas.
Oh, it's on sale right now?
Yeah, so if you go on there and you know, want to buy some copies for your
friends. Have you actually, I mean, like, how's it selling?
I've sold a few copies.
That's awesome.
Yeah. I'll sell more when you buy a copy or two, like, for your parents to read, you know, because you can say, hey, remember this kid that used to hang out at our house?
In search of what? Could I look up Todd Pfeiffer?
Yeah. 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 Oh, I'll send you a link.
Yeah, no. Okay, there you go. Okay, there it is. Nice. Hey, you're right there.
Yeah. Nice. So buy several copies. Yeah. Folks, have a great holiday season, whatever you celebrate, and remember to keep that spirit of Christmas going all throughout the year.